let's get the show on the road. Let's, why not? No.
Yeah.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Gonna hit record.
Yeah, I've recorded.
I've hit record as well.
Okay, I just hit record right now.
Yeah, I'm recording now.
We are in the record zone. The record zone.
The record zone. Okay.
Why are there so many skeletons here?
Because of all the murder.
Yeah, all the murder we did. Well, Kiri did. I didn't do any. I'm innocent.
And they're all
don't
in these,
me.
Like, pink boxes with, like, stars on. Does anybody know what that's about?
Hey, don't worry about it.
I think that's a reference to the last season of Ultimate Despair Reprise. But it's been a whole summer, so there's no way
we could ever
know.
That would be ridiculous.
Welcome back from vacation, listeners. I trust you had a good one. I, for one, am severely sunburnt. I'm having a reasonable amount of fun personally. I hope you all looked up what the Meadowlands Xanadu was, and I hope you are also horrified by it. If not, you should get on that now. That's your homework. It's overdue, actually. You will be getting a demerit if you didn't.
Oh no!
You can't start the episode until you've done it.
Well.
All right, has that weeded out all the geeds? Let's get this show on the fucking road.
All right, let's do it. 3, 2, 1.
Mark.
Work and Mindy, let's go.
Oh boy. Welcome everybody to Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap podcast going through the entire Danganronpa series one murder at a time. And today we are covering the prologue to Super Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair. And we're in it once again in a new semester, a new season of killings, of pink blood, of all that good stuff.
Great intro.
Yep.
It's just really, really eloquent.
Well, thank you.
The fingers in his ass guy is in this season, which is which I am already excited for. Sans Undertale got it into Smash and Danganronpa 2. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, before we get started, what were some of your thoughts and expectations before going into Danganronpa 2?
Should we introduce ourselves first?
We should actually absolutely introduce ourselves.
I think they know
who
we are. We spent like 11 episodes introducing ourselves.
You know what? Yeah. We should. Jennifer.
Fuck the format.
Chaos Podcast.
I am Kyrie, the ultimate host.
We are embracing chaos.
I'm Jennifer, the ultimate podcaster.
I'm Jackie, the ultimate sunburned student.
I'm a student in a Monokuma mask, and I'm going to hit this car with a pipe a couple times.
I don't think that's an ultimate talent, but all right.
You know what?
Well,
we appreciate
I'm the ultimate car hitter. Like, I'm really good at that one minigame from Street Fighter.
Okay, I don't know enough about Street Fighter to argue.
The car punching minigame.
Anyway, I'm Inez.
Hi, Inez.
For better or worse.
So, any thoughts and feelings that you had before we get right into Danganronpa 2?
Hey, y'all play Three Houses yet?
Okay, so here's the recap for the prologue of Danganronpa 2. Not Trigger Happy Havoc, it's Goodbye Despair. also known as Super Danganronpa 2. I think it's Sayonara Zetsubo Gakuen in the Japanese version, which just translates to Goodbye Despair School. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, we wake up to a strange white-haired boy speaking to us with the sounds of waves crashing all around us. We learn that we are Hajime Hinata, an unknown ultimate about to attend classes at Hope's Peak Academy. However, we soon find ourselves in front of a strange door. After entering the room and being surrounded by 15 other students, we are confronted by a stuffed rabbit named Usami. She then breaks down the walls to reveal a sunny beach and announces we are on a heart-throbbing school trip, where we're expected to make friends and have a great time. Nothing could possibly go wrong. We wake up once again and we go around the island to meet up with the other students. There we learn that we are on Jabberwock Island, a secluded set of islands in the middle of an unknown ocean. While no planes or modes of transport seem to work and no materials to make an escape, the island does seem safe enough. There's a supermarket filled with all the essentials and fully furnished rooms for each of the students. After meeting everyone, Usami announces that she has a gift. That gift was Usami keychains. Oh, and school swimsuits. Hajime finally stops being a buzzkill and decides it's okay to have some fun on the beach with their new friends. Something, however, begins to go wrong. The sky darkens and a strange transmission announces that the students should meet up in Jabberwock Park in the middle of the islands. We are then introduced once again to Monokuma, who finds a heart-throbbing school trip to be a little too boring and turns it into a killing school trip. Monokuma fights Usami, who has now been transformed into Monomi, a rabbit in the image of Monokuma. She does not, however, last very long, as Monokuma unleashes the Mono Beasts, huge, ferocious titans of metal and mayhem, proving that Monokuma is deadly serious. A new rule to escape the killing school trip is now to murder one of your fellow students and get away with it. Suspicions arise, and a new killing game has just begun.
Yeah, so, that's the long and short of it.
Yeah, so it immediately, like, this is a slower intro than the first game, but I love this intro so much. Right at the beginning, we have Komaeda just looking down upon us and just setting the tone. And as you had a note about Komaeda's voice that I found interesting.
Playing through the game, I kind of realized that I didn't actually have any idea what Komaeda's voice acting would sound like. Like, obviously, I know what Komaeda looks like, but I never had a voice. What he would sound like.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the English and Japanese version, each one is interesting take on the character. Jen, you've played the game in English and we're playing the game in Japanese, and it is no secret that you're a Komaeda fan.
Yeah, you could say that. I have prints on my wall. I've dressed up as the character multiple times. I have manga devoted to that character. Yeah, I like that character a whole lot.
Yeah.
And, the thing about the Bryce Papenbrook performance in English is it's a lot more laid back, kind of like almost like a surfer dude-esque voice, which is interesting because one of the things with Danganronpa 1 and 2 is that the same actor in both languages voices Makoto in 1 and Nagito in 2. So, it's a much different performance, even for him, between 1 and 2. But,
yeah.
Yeah. But either way, I like it a whole lot, because I think Megumi Ogata also does a fantastic job.
Yeah. So, Jackie and Inez, what were your thoughts going through the initial part of this prologue? And what do you think of Hajime as a character so far?
Hajime is interesting. I'm kind of neutral on Hajime because I don't think we've really met him so far. He seems a lot more apprehensive about the circumstances that he's in, which I think is rather interesting because, you know, or I guess, I mean, Makoto is apprehensive too, but I think Hajime is apprehensive in a way that I feel like is more in line with player expectations, which I thought was a very, in kind of a clever way to put it, by having him be a bit more cautious in a general sense. He fits more with the idea that, like, the player knows what they're getting into by getting a Danganronpa game and sees this and sees the setup and is immediately in on it. And for the bulk of the setup, it's trying and failing to convince you that it's just normal, like, oh, you know, you're just on this island to have a good time. And of course you're not, but, like, the moment that Hinata lets down his guard, and honestly, I kind of let my guard down a little bit. I was like, oh, I guess, you know, it'll get worse a little bit later. Somebody's going to mysteriously show up dead, but for now, it's just going to be happy, fun time social. That's when Monokuma kind of kicks in, and I thought that was a very interesting take.
Yeah, like, it does get you right at the point at which you are letting your guard down right at the same time as Hajime is.
It very much plays with your expectations, and I like that Hajime is kind of a more effective player insert, I would say. I wish he was a little bit more outspoken. I wish he had a little bit more personality, but I'm sure he develops it. Yeah. I don't know. I trust the writers a bit.
Yeah. So, why don't we go through our cast list? Why don't we kind of talk about the characters and what your initial takes are on them?
Hell yeah.
All right.
So we do have some returning cast members, actually. First and foremost,
we have two.
Yes. Jackie, did you get the link? Are you in the thing? Yes.
Yeah, I'm in everything. Don't worry about me.
You're in everything. Don't worry.
Yeah. I am all seeing and all knowing.
Right.
I think we've established that my secret talent is that I'm the ultimate brain genius.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So returning, of course, is Monokuma, who's voiced by Nobuyo Oyama in Japanese and Brian Beacock in English.
And unfortunately also returning is Togami Byakuya, voiced by Ishida Akira and Jason Wishnov. He put on a couple pounds. He had a good summer, so to speak.
Yeah, he's a bit more rounded.
Yeah. Bit of a round boy.
Why did that joke work?
When we met him last time, he was kind of single focused, but you could say he's got a finger in every pie now.
Well,
okay, yeah, that was a bit uncouth.
Let's take a step back. Honestly, one of the things I like the least about Danganronpa 2 is the way that they constantly treat the specific character as a fat joke, and I wish that they handled it a bit better.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of feels like why is Byakuya here, and it seems like the whole idea behind making him really fat was, oh, haha, he's fat now.
Yeah.
It's a weird joke and doesn't entirely work. There is like one or two good snippets, I think. But otherwise it feels just a little unnecessary. But yeah, Byakuya is back.
It feels like the entire joke of his character in this game so far has kind of been, for people who played the first game, like, oh, he does the expressions that he did in the first game, but he's fat now. Isn't that wacky?
Isn't that hilarious?
I don't really think we've seen enough of him to make a judgment like that.
I mean, he's kind of still just Byakuya.
He is still Byakuya, and honestly, fat or no, I really would rather not having a Byakuya in this game as well.
I'm
excited for Danganronpa 3, where I know for a fact there's no Byakuya. Oh, yeah. I don't like that laughter. Is Byakuya gonna fucking follow me into Danganronpa 3? No Is comment. He gonna fucking duct tape himself to my ass cheeks? I don't want this.
I do think Byakuya has it.
Has some ass cheek duct taping,
the ultimate ass cheek duct taper.
You know that part in the Odyssey where they're holding onto the bottom of sheep to escape the Cyclops' notice. That's gonna be Byakuya in about one game.
He walks behind the biggest character in the third game's cast for the entire game, so you don't see him there, but on the sixth chapter it's like, we don't know who the 16th student is, and Byakuya just walks out and is like, it's me.
Chad, you were saying
affluent progeny.
I was just gonna say that the reasons for him being here and some of the things that happened with this character are pretty interesting in this game. That's all I'll say for now.
I hope you're right. And this isn't a case of Byakuya gets more endearing towards the end, because that was untrue. My biggest fear is that this version of Byakuya is also going to be going to be on top of this, also horny, like Terry horny, like.
Oh, we'll that's, get to that, terror,
that would
terror.
Be the, that would make me very, very upset.
Unfortunately, we will get to Terra Teru.
I feel like all I need to Ollie out of this podcast is if I hear Byakuya Togami say titties, I'm done. I am gone. Titties. Go the fuck away. I am done. I am turning my mic off and throwing it into the sea. I am walking away. I will never look
Walk
at the letters D and R ever again. Do not send it to me. I will never see a doctor.
You'll never see
I will never play golf,
ever.
Never go to a driving range. If I see Danganronpa, I will Ollie the fuck out.
I will never Byakuya play is ever golf. Horny.
So,
all right, so with that established, let's look at the new cast.
Yeah, we have some new cast characters. I'll start at the top. So we have Usami, who is the stuffed rabbit headmaster, who's voiced in Japanese by Takako Susaga, who is known mostly for one role, Taru Fujika, in Sazae-san. Now, much like Nobuya Oyama, Takako Susaga voiced one children's cartoon character for multiple decades. This show, Sazae-san, holds the world record for the longest running anime, airing since of October 1969. So it's a similar joke to Nobuya Oyama voicing Monokuma, of just having this character who is the equivalent of, I don't know, Winnie the Pooh or Barney the Dinosaur or whatever voicing this character.
Yeah, because in the last game it was the voice of Doraemon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from what I know about Sazae-san, it seems more like a Simpsons kind of take, less than not necessarily family television, but not necessarily for children, in the same way that having basically Doraemon, who is Japanese Winnie the Pooh, essentially, to do Monokuma.
To do her voice, yeah.
But yeah, Sasuga Takako Tarao Fubuta.
Yeah. And in English, she is voiced by Rebecca Forstadt, who is the voice of Tachikoma the various Tachikomas in Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, Suiseki and Rosen Maiden, and Sugar, a little snow fairy Sugar. So again, another actress who's known for doing really high-pitched voices. I'm a big fan of the Tachikomas, personally.
The Tachikoma are good. I feel like I might be the only person on this podcast who saw Rosen Maiden. And
I was aware of Rosen Maiden.
Yeah, it was okay. Doesn't really live up to the hype, but it was certainly something. I like the character designs. Suiseki is a good looking character.
Yeah. And,
and her identical sister looks good too. Her pseudo identical sister is a cool design too.
Yeah. I do love there is one particular moment when Monokuma transforms Usami into Monomi that the UI changes and Monomi points out, it's like, why did you change the UI? I don't like this.
Yeah, why is she wearing a diaper, by the way? I feel like I need to ask.
I think it's to humiliate her.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ask some serious questions right now, about the art designer's kinks, and I don't think I want any answers to them. I'm not gonna press my luck here. Yeah, I'm not gonna press my luck.
I'll do a lot of digressions, but baby furs are off the table.
Yep. Shall we move on then?
Yes. Absolutely.
Jackie, why don't you take the next one on the list?
All right. So our boy, Hajime Hinata, the main guy, he is voiced in Japanese by Minami Takeyama, who voices the main character Conan Edogawa in Detective Conan. She also voices Envy in Full Metal Alchemist. Cool. And Amo Kanade in Symphogear, for the 2 episodes wherein she shows up. And then next to you. But yeah, no, she. So this is pretty interesting. It's kind of interesting because, the voices. So, for instance, Conan is
Conan's a detective.
Yeah, but Conan's also a young character, a very young character. Kanade being, kind of an old, having a kind of a deeper woman, woman's voice, and Envy being kind of more masculine, more gender ambiguous. Takeyama has quite a bit of range. And Hajime Hinata is kind of in that general, you could hear a bit of the Envy in there. It's kind of interesting.
And also the first game where Makoto was voiced by
Megumi Ogata.
Yeah, Megumi Ogata, who is a woman. Hajime Hinata in this game is also voiced by a woman.
Yeah, in all three games.
There's a tendency for women voice actors to do the voices of young boys. So that's a thing we're seeing here. In English, we got Johnny Young Bosch, who did Fascist Stampede from Trigon, Renton from Eureka 7, did Nero and Devil. He's the voice of Nero Devil May Cry. Johnny Young Bosch is kind of a voice acting, he's kind of, if you look into the credits of any anime, that's Johnny Young Bosch is probably going to be there. He's been around the industry.
Yeah, Johnny's been around for a long time, got his start in Power Rangers, and then he just became a pretty prolific English anime voice actor.
The list even of just the characters here, this is at least the English voice actors are at least, and well actually the Japanese voice actors as well. I'm seeing quite a lot of a who's who of who is in the industry late 2000s at very least. Early 2010s. So it's kind of an interesting run through of the history.
Johnny doing I've listened to a little bit of the English voice, and he's kind of doing a mix of the an aged up Renton Thurston when he voices Hajime.
I am not particularly familiar with Eureka 7. How would you say the voice pairs up with Nero Devil May Cry? How that kind of
is. He's voicing Nero.
Yeah, he voices Nero Devil May Cry, but I'm kind of imagining, because I swear I've heard a clip of Hajime Hinata, and I've been wow, that's fucking Nero Devil May Cry.
Yeah, it's pretty close to Nero.
But I just wanted to be sure that I was accurate.
So Jen, why don't you take the next character on the list?
Okay, so I kind of went over him earlier, but we have Nagito Komaeda, the ultimate lucky student. might notice that he's also wearing a hoodie like the protagonist from the first game.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is Call My Anna just Makoto?
He looks and is voiced by the same character as Makoto for a clever reason, and you'll kind of clue into why as it goes on.
But also, yeah. Nagito Komaeda is a anagram of Makoto Naige.
Yeah, it looks like an anagram of his name as well.
So
they're wearing basically the same clothing. I think they might just be the same person.
Jen?
So, he's voiced by Megumi Ogata in Japan, who also plays Kanemata in Persona 3, Kurama in Yu Hakusho, and Makoto Naegi in Danganronpa She also voices Makoto Naegi in Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc. And on the English side, we have Bryce Papenbrook, who plays Silver the Hedgehog in Sonic Team Racing, Henry in Fire Emblem Awakening, and Makoto Naegi in Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc.
What a fun series of coincidences that won't have any bearing on the story whatsoever.
Not at all. Yeah, two voice actors that are fairly talented. Like, I feel like most people know Megumi Ogata from Evangelion, but she's pretty much a heavy hitter in the industry, and I struggle to think of a character she's voiced that she didn't do a good job in. She pretty much owns every role she's in.
Yeah, she's absolutely fantastic, and I love her in this role as well. Like, we'll get into it, but like, her performance as Komaeda is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it gets really breathy in interesting ways, and yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. Jackie, do you want to take the next character on the list?
Yeah, why not? Let's see. We're talking Peko Peko Yama, right?
Peko Peko Yama.
Yep. So she is voiced in Japanese by Kotono Mitsuishi, who voices Usagi in Sailor Moon, Misato Katsuragi in Evangelion, Boa Hancock in One Piece. In English, she's Janice Kawaii, who was Jenny in My Life as a Teenage Robot, Lasithia Fire Emblem, and Gi in Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Fucking all right.
Yeah, it's like kind of a weird pull, but like, she's been in the industry for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say Captain Planet. So she's been in the industry for a while. Peko Yama seems cool. She was my instant favorite, because like, I mean, all you need to do is give me like a hot girl with a sword, and I'm like content. Like, that's me. That's like, I can that.
And Peko Peko is just a fun name to say.
Yeah, it's an onomatopoeia for something.
Your stomach is grumbling.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, well, like when you're hungry, you get up. You're Peko Peko. And yeah. This character is a Jackie treat.
Yeah, I was going to say, ironic, because this character is extremely snacks to me.
I like that...
Also, this character has the Renegade for some reason.
Yeah, she has a fucking Renegade. You don't have the Renegade? What are you, some sort of geed?
Jen, you were saying...
fucking Melvin?
I was just going to say, I like that the sword that she's carrying around is wooden, but it doesn't matter because she knows the human anatomy so well that even a wooden sword would be fatal in this scenario.
I mean, yeah. If you hit somebody with a wooden sword, like, you could still, like, kill them pretty handily. You're still putting a surprising amount of leverage behind an angled object. I used to teach fencing, and even getting hit by, like, not necessarily wooden, but getting hit by, like, you know, somebody swinging around a foil, which is like just a thin metal, essentially a thin metal thrusting sword, but without a tip. Somebody swinging that around, if you get whipped in the face with that, that can like hurt you pretty. That can leave a scar, a pretty nasty one too. Getting hit by a sword, just in a general sense, even if it's like. even if it is decidedly not real, you could still do some serious damage. Like, there's a reason kendo practitioners wear, like, heavy cloth and like, face guards and actual, like, stuff over them, over their body to protect them. Like, you could do some serious damage. People are surprisingly fragile.
Yep. Speaking of fragility.
Anyway, that's been the murder corner.
Yeah, welcome to the murder corner, by the way.
Jack,
it's a new segment we're trying out.
Yep. Inez, why don't you take the next character on the list?
Well, Boss Baby, Boss Baby, otherwise known as Fuyuhiku Kizuru.
Kizuri.
Yeah. He's the ultimate Yakuza, and also he looks like the Boss Baby. Like, I think if you need an idea of what this character looks like, he kind of looks like the Boss Baby, but also that drill tweet about how children should be fitted for a fine Italian suit.
Yeah, he's wearing a very sharp pinstripe suit.
And he's not wearing the tie straight. Like, come on.
Well, he's a Yakuza.
Yeah, he's a Yakuza. Come on.
Yeah, he's wearing a suit, but you gotta know he's hip and cool. And he doesn't wear his tie straight.
Who's he anyway, voiced by?
Now that I'm done belaboring the point, in Japanese, he's voiced by Daisuke Kishio, who voices Cody in Street Fighter. Geez in Dragon Ball Z. I'm just gonna keep moving. And Steely Dan in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I'm not gonna make a sex joke there. I'm not.
You're not?
In English. No. In English, he's voiced by Derek Stephan Prince. He voices Shino Aburame, the bug guy in Naruto. Uryu Ishida in Bleach, and Viamon in Digimon.
Yeah. Derek Stephan Prince is a pretty good voice actor and has been around for a bit. I'm half tempted to like go on his Cameo and request like another radio bumper in the voice of Kuzuryu.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Fuyuhiko. He has one really funny line. Like, it shouldn't be that funny, but it's still pretty funny, in which he says, "Make like a tree and fuck off."
I kind of like him. Like, I don't know, like, he seems kind of interesting. Like, I like that he does look like a little kid, and he is, you know, if he's the ultimate Yakuza, he is like kind of a tough guy. I don't know. I mean, I like, it's kind of a neat inversion of how like they give you know, like we talk about how they give the like very goofy cartoon looking boys like very serious voice actors who do like, you know,
yeah,
I think we hit this for like the Danganronpa 3 guy, who I can't remember, but I kind of like that he's very much like he's very much a tough guy, but he's basically a he's designed to look like completely not filling out that suit.
Yeah, he looks like a small child.
There's also a pretty great line when he's introduced where where like after he tells you to fuck off, Komaeda tells you about him, and that if you mention his baby face to him, he'll cut off your fingers. And Makoto Hajime.
We'll
different characters. Makoto too, says that was close. I nearly lost all my fingers.
Yeah, he was ready to call him a boss baby to his face.
One fun thing I'll mention is in the manga that's written from Nagito's perspective, whoever localized the manga text decided to give Fuyuhiko an Italian cadence to the way he's talking. So there's a lot of forget about it and things like that.
Hey, love the Mets.
Hey, I'm cutting off your fingers here. Because you brought up my baby-like complexion.
Do not bring up the fact that my face looks like a 2-year-old. Hey!
I was born in this suit.
Moving on.
For the first couple years, it was kind of weird.
Moving on. We have Mahiro Koizumi, who is the ultimate photographer. It appears that she has taken a tablecloth and turned it into her tie. In Japanese, she's voiced by Yu Kobayashi, who voices Ayame Sarutobi in Gintama, Tsuchinoko in Kimono Friends, and Lucina in Fire Emblem Awakening. And in English, she's voiced by Carrie Karenin, who voiced Satsuki in Kill la Kill, Mami Tomoe in Madoka Magica, and Justine and Caroline in Persona 5.
Yeah. I feel like she's a character that initially, when I played for the first time, rubbed me a bit the wrong way, because she's very much in a traditional gender role sort of character, where she's like, well, you're a guy, so you better do this to me, and I'm going to rely on you, so you need to be the perfect male for me. But over time, she kind of grew on me.
I kind of liked her right off the bat. Like, she seems kind of... Yeah. Like, she seems like she's written to be abrasive, and I like those kind of characters who are, like, rude. Like, I mean, to a degree, of course. Like, I didn't really like Felix Fire Emblem. He's kind of a dick. But I like her because she's kind of a, like, she's kind of abrasive, but in a way that's like, oh, this kind of is just meant to emphasize how wishy-washy, what the fuck is our guy?
Hajime.
Makoto 2 is...
Makoto 2.
It should have just been the same guy every time, honestly. Like, it should have just been Makoto again. I don't know. We should have just had Makoto again. I can't remember all these fucking names.
You'll remember them eventually.
I guarantee you I will not. I am now going to, just to prove you wrong, I am now going to actively forget every fucking name that goes through my ears.
Damn it, Kyrie.
you have doomed this podcast.
Every time she plays Danganronpa, she's going to hit herself on the head with a big comical hammer.
I already do that, Inez.
That's true.
This game makes me want to beat myself with the cartoon mallet until I make accordion noises. But yeah, I don't know. I like Koizumi. I like her design a lot, though. She looks very... She definitely looks like an art student.
I like her too.
I like how she calls you unreliable Hajime.
She like right off the bat is like, hey, you look like some fucking layabout. I don't trust you.
And then immediately Nagito chimes in to be like, I see you're whipped already, Hajime. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Kobayeda's got jokes.
Speaking of whips, we have next character is Owari Akane. She is voiced in Japanese by Romy Park, who does Edward Elric in, you know, of course, I'm not going to name the series, Full Metal Alchemist, Shirogane Naoto in Persona, Mistral in fucking Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Romy.
I didn't hear that voice in her at all.
Yeah, Romy Park's English, been around.
Yeah, in English, she's voiced by Wendy Lee, who is Haruhi, Twilight Suzuka in Outlaw Star, and Bulma in Dragon Ball, in Dragon Ball Super specifically. It says in these notes. I don't follow Dragon Ball, so I won't. Whatever. So I think you'll notice two big things with her character design.
It's one way to put it.
Her hair, her hair, and her shirt.
Yeah, no, she's kind of got this wild student look to her, and I really like that. She's the ultimate gymnast, but, like, right off the bat, they kind of go, oh, yeah, you know, she's the ultimate gymnast, but also she doesn't, like, follow any routines, doesn't practice or anything. She's just naturally really, really good. And if she gets bored of some shit, she just does whatever she wants. And I kind of like that she's just a chaotic dumbass, like, absolutely feral. Like, who let this wild animal onto our set? She's also got big titties.
I was wondering who would be the first person to bring that up.
Listen, you don't have to wonder anymore. It was gonna be me.
I didn't want to be seen as like too horny by being the first person to bring it up. But
well,
yeah,
I've got good news.
Your titties are giant.
Listen. I'm the horny one on this podcast. But yeah, Akane's got like they're kind of front and center on her design. Like she's very sexed up with like kind of. I mean, like it's like a part of her design that you can evaluate. Yeah. It's not like you
it's
know
a little
I'm not
distracting.
Gonna be like it's kind of, I guess it's kind of weird for me, the one who's been making lurid jokes like this entire time because they're cheap and easy to be like, oh, you know, I'm not going to be immature about her design, but like on some level, it's like, you know, she's designed to be sexual. She's heavily sexualized, yeah. And I kind of am wondering how the game's going to approach that, and like if they're going to say anything on it, or if it's going to, you know, be, or if they're going to use that design for any reason, or like if that's going to be a thing that is meaningful to anything, or if that's just going to be like, haha, she got big titty.
I'll be honest, I don't have high hopes.
Honestly, I expect nothing. But I am always excited to be surprised, to be pleasantly surprised. Yeah. That is, or if I'm negatively surprised, I'm excited to rip into whatever and just really disappoint my co-hosts. Who wants to do next character?
Jen, why don't you take the next character?
Okay, so next up we have Sonia Nevermind, the Ultimate Princess. She's a foreign exchange student from a country, and I forget the name of the country, but it's supposed to be some sort of far off a European country, and
it's like always implied to be some vaguely European country.
Yeah,
does she name the same country every time, or does she name? Because I feel like a very good goof would be her naming a different country every time, like extremely not an actual princess, but like.
I'm pretty sure it is the same country name every time. Something like Nova Stralis or something like that. Yeah, she's voiced by Miho Arakawa in Japan, who plays Shizuku in Hunter vs. Hunter, Sumireko Hanabusa in Akuma no Riddle, and Rei in Ore Monogatari. And in English, she's played by Natalie Hoover, who plays Tomoyo in Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card, Ellen in That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, and Kazuyu Suema from Boogie Pop and Others. I like both the voices for this character. Like
I like Sonia Nevermind a lot.
Yeah, her English voice is very much like this sort of situation, and very regal in a situation, in a sense. And it's fun that immediately when Hajime is in her presence, he's overtaken by her regalness and is tempted to basically kneel before her in terms of just showing her veneration. I like the idea of a character that just walks around and inspires that in people.
Ends up making people just swear fealty to her, like, immediately.
Yeah. And they do have some fun with the fact that she's a exchange student in terms of she has some really weird taste. And
I have a prediction. I don't think any of you are gonna like it.
Oh, what's that?
Oh no.
I feel like this character design, just looking at it, the vibe that I get off of it is like the specific group of people that flocked to this character are all foot fetishists.
You shut
like,
the fuck up.
This is the character that all the people into feet request are of. She just looks extremely feet to me.
God damn it.
I am sincerely sorry. I am sincerely sorry for this, but she does look extremely feet.
You shut the fuck up, Jackie.
Toe to tip, that's a feet.
Toe to tip, that's Sonia Nevermind. Also, I love the fact that her last name is Nevermind.
Yeah.
It's
Sonia,
a
don't worry about it.
Sonia, forget about it.
Sonia, forget about it.
Sonia, forget about it. Hey!
Hey! Baba Ganoush!
Sonya is pretty good, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, she's, aside from the whole feet thing, she's really good.
Well, you're the one.
You're the one who brought us down that dark road.
She's very good. Including the whole feet thing, she's very good. Arguably, the feet thing enhances her appeal. Is that what y'all wanted to hear? Is that what you
we're hoping for?
Okay. Bastards.
Moving on.
Our new fiends for toes.
Techie, I'm going to fucking suplex you.
Do it.
Anyway, our next character is Gundam Tanaka, the ultimate breeder, which, hey.
Did you call him Gundam?
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Did you call him Gundam? Okay, first and foremost, ultimate nutting guy aside.
He's Gundam.
His name is Gundam, because it's Gundam, or well, Gundam. Did you fucking call him Gundam?
Gundam. I don't know.
His name's Goombas Tanaka.
Give me a fucking second take, asshole. We can fix that in post. Okay, so Gundam Tanaka is the ultimate breeder. That's animal breeder. He has.
You're not making it any better, actually.
Hey, shut up.
These pauses are not helping.
Who's he voiced by, Inez?
In Japanese, his voice actor is Tomokazu Sugita, who, among a lot of other things, voices Gintoki and Gintama, Ragna the Blood Edge in Blaze Blue, and Joseph Joestar in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah, he's Joseph Joestar, like, goddamn.
Yeah, he's kind of immediately recognizable, I think, as Tomokazu Sugita.
Yeah, like, this is a very... I mean, honestly, Gundam Tanaka is a very Tomokazu Sugita role. Like, you can kind of, like, as soon as he opens his mouth, he really just chews the scenery on it. And it is a pretty excellent, introduction. Sugita really brings the character to life.
Yeah, it's excellent casting all around.
Okay. In English, he's voiced by Chris Turgliaferra, who voices Abdul in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Lots of JoJo's in these notes. I'm noticing.
Well, it's JoJo's time.
It is. It's always JoJo time, isn't it?
Yep.
Also, he voices Potemkin Higashi in Megalobox. And Sigma in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
So yeah, he also equally plays characters that chew the scenery and really just is a big, boisterous, like, sort of, you know, presence. And I love Gundam Tanaka. He might be one of my favorite characters in the entire series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has this jokingly intimidating aura around him where he's constantly talking about, okay, who is your master? Tell me, and then I will kill you immediately afterwards. And his four Dark Devas of Destruction are little hamsters that escape from his scarf and like to snooze on him.
It's such a good detail, and he basically calls himself the King of Hell. Like, the Prince of Ice, the King of Hell, like, those types of things.
Taming evil by using myself as a bed. Truly, this is the secret art of the Tanaka Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems like a good boy.
Yeah, Gundam Tanaka
is good.
Yes. He's very fun. He is just... he's a blast to be around.
Danganronpa.
Hey everyone, it's me, Kyrie. Thank you so much for listening to episode 12, which is the start of a brand new season. I've been so excited to get to Danganronpa 2 for quite some time now, and I'm glad you've come along with us. This has been absolutely amazing, and Danganronpa 2 is going to be an absolute trip, so definitely stay tuned, everybody. For now, let's do the shoutouts. First, I would like to thank you, Scanline Media, for hosting this podcast. Yes, you, Scanline Media, the
website that I'm addressing. You should be going to scanlightmedia.com for more articles, podcasts, and even occasional fanfic. We got lots of great shows for you to listen to, like the Johto Quorum and Neutral Game. Those shows are free. But if you kick us a dollar at patreon.com/scanlightmedia, you get access to streaming polls and the Patreon exclusive Oops All Anime, where I'm occasionally a guest. We talked about Given recently, and don't sleep on Given. We talk about shows that are old, new, everything in between. So definitely go to scanlightmedia.com or patreon.com/scanlightmedia. And hey, check out our Twitch channel as well. We have been trying to stream a little bit more often. So, you know, keep an eye on that. We just had a stream. Me, Six, and Jen just did a great stream with Kerbal Space Program, and that was a lot of fun. So twitch.tv/scanlightmedia. And as always, a huge thank you to Vetrom for the use of their remixes for the show. Go to youtube.com/VTMprojects for more great remixes from Danganronpa, Fire Emblem Three Houses, and even original music with Hatsune Miku. I don't know how they booked Hatsune Miku, but that Miku seems to be real popular, so you should probably give their music a listen. Our remixes are always hot fire, so definitely check them out. Lastly, we're entering a much longer game with Danganronpa 2. Like, the prologue doesn't exactly sell, like, how long this game is going to be. So, we might have a format change. If there is, be sure to check in on our Twitter, @UDespairCast, for more updates. Anyway, that's it for me. Next week, your homework is to complete Chapter 1, A Daily Life of Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair. Till next time, peace. Danganronpa.
Can I get the next character?
Yeah, go
sure.
Ahead.
Why not?
Okay, so our next character is Chiaki Nanami, the ultimate gamer. In Japanese, she's voiced by Kana Hanazawa, who voiced Red Blood Cell in Cells at Work. Chiaki...
Kanahana's voiced fucking everybody. Like,
She also voices Nadeko in the Monogatari series.
Yeah, Nadeko, she voices, Suo in Darker Than Black, fucking Holly in Last Exile when she was 14. You know, Kanahana's fucking everywhere. She won Best Supporting Actress at the 9th Seiyu Award. Like, she's
a big deal.
Like, if you go to her Wikipedia page and look at her filmography, you can start scrolling and your finger will hurt by the time you hit the bottom. Kanahana's a fucking she's a household. Yeah. And she's good, you know, not undeservedly. Like, she is good at what she do.
Yeah, she's great. In English, she's voiced by Christine Mary Cabanos, who voices Mako in Kill la Kill, Philia in Skullgirls, and Azusa Nakano in K-On.
So, English voice actor no slouch, but she got big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I think that the English voice for this character is great, and both voices... I can pretty much say for most of these characters, both voices are great, but, there's something to the sleepy quality that Christine brings Chiaki that, really sells the character well.
I love Chiaki. If anything happens to her...
All Girls was really good, too.
Yeah. That's a really recognizable performance for me.
Yeah. So she really kind of owns the stage as a Chiaki. It's really interesting.
Ultimate sleepy.
Yeah.
Also, if anything bad happens to Chiaki, I'm going to kill Danganronpa.
I get the fucking feeling that Chiaki's going to beef it. If not in this game, then at some point.
Well, I know she is because it's Danganronpa. If the character you like doesn't die in Danganronpa, then you probably weren't serious enough about it.
You're not incorrect. Most of my favorite characters
So this next character, Ibuki Miyota, is fucking pretty cool. She's voiced by Ami Koshimizu, who has done, she was Ryuko in Kill la Kill, Yukiko Persona 4, Holo Spice and Wolf. Honestly, Koshimizu Ami is another, like, voice acting industry veteran. She's been doing this for at least 16 years now. Most recent role is she was the demon mother in Kimetsu no Yaiba. But she was also, you know, fucking everybody. She was in Yurikuma Ima, she was in Yurikuma, she was in Umaru, she was in Maoyu, she voiced Mao, which yeah. I thought was a role that she really killed it in. She's in Gintama as Sayaka, Sayaka Otakai, which is a yeah. name that rings a bell, but I can't remember exactly what it is. She was in Futari wa Pretty Cure, fucking every.
Koryu
wa Zombie, Soul Eater.
She's extremely experienced, and she
extremely prolific.
And she really brings it as a Ibuki. Oh, she was?
Yeah, she voiced Kato in Star Driver.
Huh.
The class rep. Huh. All right. No, that was, that's, and she fucking kills it as Ibuki. Like, Ibuki Miyota, like, immediately sold on, I'm immediately sold on her, which kind of seems to be also, like, general reaction. Like, I've seen a lot of fan art of her. People seem to really be a fan of her, and you know what? For good reason. She's really good.
It's far as I recall. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's all good. What were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say it's also one of Jen's favorite characters, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, she's a firecracker personality. She often throws herself wholeheartedly into things, even when she's not the best at whatever she's doing. She's spontaneous in a fun way where she comes up with her own greetings to talk to people, and also she bites. Just in general, she just goes around biting people sometimes. She's great.
All right. I hope she doesn't have rabies. So in English, she's voiced by Julianne Taylor, who did Emile in Nier. Damn. She also did Cordelia Fire Emblem, Hildegard von Krone, and Soul Calibur. And the name rings a bell. I'm gonna do a quick Google, and I think she's done a bunch of other roles. Yeah, she's holy shit, she's been in a lot of things. She was in she was in Sailor Moon. She voiced Haruna Sailor Moon. She did Soseiseki in Rosen Maiden. She was Holly in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah.
She was in Gargantia. She was in Fooly Cooly. She was in Blue Exorcist. She was in Bleach.
Yeah, this, like we said earlier, the voice casting in this game is not only are they giving incredible voice performances, but, like, these are real who's who in both Japanese and English.
This is very much a gallery of important folks in the industry.
Yeah, one of the things about Danganronpa is they seem to have the budget to hire whoever they want, so they often do.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, like, this is a really impressive cast.
Jen, do you want to take the next character?
Sure thing. So next up we have Nekomaru Nidai, the ultimate team manager. Big buff dude, wears chains around his neck, and wears something that... He wears something that's pretty close to a high school uniform, which is a bit different than most of the other characters.
He
also has lightning.
Gundam Tanaka still has like a Gakuran on, but he has that going on. Also, I noticed there's a little bit of a. It looks like there are more girls than boys in the cast. For now, at least
maybe.
Definitely seems to. I think that's the case. I'm trying to add them up in my head, but there seem to be more women here for sure. He's voiced by Hiroki Yasumoto in Japan, who plays Asura in Asura's Wrath, Azrael in Blaze Blue, Masato Aizawa in Yakuza 5, and Christoph Giacometti in Yuri on Ice.
Big, boisterous, deep voices for this guy.
Yeah, because He's also played by, in English, Patrick Seitz, who plays Dio Brando in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusaders, Jiren in Dragon Ball Super, and Dracula in Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I'm assuming...
Yes. I was going to say... What is a man? He is What is a Man.
Oh, okay.
Oh, What is a Man speech. Shit, that's cool.
I was assuming that he was the remake voice, but if he's the original voice, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Nekomaru Nidai is pretty great. He's the ultimate team manager, as we said. He's also, like, I think his first line to you, his first voiced line is like, "My name is Nekomaru Nidai, don't forget the name, as even if you go to hell," or something like that.
Yeah, he really just starts hollering off that. I'm kind of interested in seeing where they go with this guy. He has a very prominent dick bulge, which Inez doesn't like. I think it's okay. I can live with it.
Kind of alarming, honestly. Like, it like kind of draws your eye towards it with angles like a Renaissance painting.
Classically painted Nekomaru Nidai.
And his giant fucking bulge. It's like, I really can't understate how ridiculous this is.
His bulge isn't that big.
Like his jeans look like they're about to give up.
So the Chad Nekomaru, which I guess versus the Virgin Kazuichi, who is voiced by Yoshimasa Hosoya, who does Sentaro in Kids on the Slope, Joe Megalobox in Tanigaki in Golden Kamuy. Oh shit, he also voices Shichika in Katana Gatari. I didn't realize that, but yeah, you know, I knew that name rang a bell.
Yeah.
He's also voiced by Kyle Herbert, who does Gohan as an adult in Dragon Ball, Ryu Street Fighter, and Kiba in Naruto. Kazuichi's got a good look on. He's like that bright pink hair, razor teeth. I'm kind of interested in what he brings to the table. I kind of regret calling him the Virgin compared to Nekomaru's Chad.
You'll regret your words and deeds.
I always regret my words and deeds.
I learned to like Kazuichi quite a bit.
He looks like the character that like grows on you like a tumor.
Okay. Yeah, that's
like, you hate him at first, and then it's like, you know what, this guy actually kind of.
Chad, you were saying.
I can marry this twink.
Yeah, his English voice, Kyle Herbert, actually, it's a slightly different take than the Japanese voice, because I feel like in English they made him sound a little more pathetic than his more competent voice in Japanese. And yeah. It's a different read on the character, but I feel like I feel like both readings are pretty valid. Like, at some point, no matter what, you're going to see a bit of his pathetic side and a bit of his endearing side.
I just love the shark teeth and pink hair. Like, if there weren't already a million characters I want to cosplay as in this series, like, Kazuichi might end up on the list. Like, I just love the bright... Like, this game has a really good command of color. And everybody has, like, a unique color palette associated with them in a way that makes them immediately visually striking. And Kazuichi is, like, very visually striking.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a boy-wife material.
I'll take the next one on the list, unless there are any thoughts on Kazuichi.
I don't know. I like him.
Yeah, I think we'll learn more about him as it goes on.
He seems like a good boy.
Generally a like agreeable young man.
All right. So next on the list we have Hyoko Sayanji, who is the ultimate traditional dancer. In Japanese, she's voiced by Suzuko Mimori, who voiced Umi Sonata in Love Live, Pinkie Pie in the Japanese dub of My Little Pony: Friendship Is Magic, and Hikari Kagura in Review Starlight. And Ezo Red Fox in Kimono Friends. In English, she's voiced by none other than Kira Buckland, who also voices Umi Sonata in Love Live, 2B in Nier Automata, and Talon in Soul Calibur 6. And if you haven't already, you should definitely listen to the interview that we had with Kira. She was absolutely phenomenal, and she is really good in this role as well.
Yeah, we're big fans of Kira Buckland around here.
And Hyoko is a pretty fun character. She is immediately like, when you talk to her, she's just doing, like, and first, like, seemingly playful, like, squish, squish. And then it's like, what are you doing? And she's going, I'm killing
yeah,
ants.
She is, I kind of immediately clocked that was what she was doing. But at the same time, it's like, wow, she is, like, she's just mean, and I kind of like that. I kind of like the yeah, she also reminds me visually of Junko and Oshima, so I'm a little worried about that.
I like that, like, in this game she's really cast against type, because, like, Umi and, like, in Love Live is like a very nice character, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah,
totally. And there's something about having a really innocent looking character who, out of everyone else's roles, hers is about putting on a good face and entertaining people through traditional dancing, and turning her into kind of a mean girl style character who can tell instantly gossips around people and all that.
Yeah, like Hyoko's character design is intended to give you the vibe of like a nice, cute idol character, and she's actually pretty awful. She's a pretty terrible person.
I will be legitimately surprised if she doesn't do the first murder. Like I guess she's not going to, but, like, I think the thing is, like, she definitely gives off the vibe of, like, she was just looking for an excuse. Monokuma shows up and her reaction is like, oh, finally. Shit, fucking finally,
my time has come.
Like, okay, everybody, time to kill each other. And she's just like, and she just casually drops the knife that she had in her hand, is like, wait, it's time to what?
There are like 50 knives under that kimono.
Yeah.
Kira actually mentioned during the interview that she really enjoyed voicing Hyoko, because it was, again, a character that she get to play against the type, because of the types of characters she's typically cast in, and not only doing, like, a young girl voice, but also doing, like, a mean, caustic, like, voice as well. Like, there was something really fun in doing that. She said she really enjoyed voicing Hyoko.
Yeah, she's a really fun character. I'm looking forward to seeing what she does.
Like, when Monokuma calls them all over near the end of the prologue, she's like, well, I have to kill these crabs later. And she makes a lot of really good, goofy faces.
So, should I be the one to take the bullet and take care of the next person?
Yeah, I guess so.
I could do it.
I'm doing Terra. Terra Hanamura is voiced by Jun Fukuyama, who does who's mainly typecast as like Bishonen characters like Girl Sutcliffe, Ren Amamiya, and Relulush, Lamperouge, those being from Black Butler, Persona 5, and Code Gesh, respectively. In English, he's voiced by Todd Haberkorn, who does Haruka from Free, Viscount Jewett from Black Butler, and Ling Yao from Full Metal Alchemist.
Again, the joke, much like with Hifumi in the last game, is getting prolific voice actor who voices very attractive men to voice just the most objectively terrible character.
Yes, yeah. Hifumi is immediately unsympathetic in a way that I think it feels kind of unintentional. Like, we talked about this in the pregame just a little bit for this podcast. He's kind of here, kind of in the same vein as, like, Mineta from Boku no Hero Academia, where it's like this character is just unrelentingly obnoxious, and, like, he's horny, but it gets played off as, like, a joke, but it's very much, like, in a creepy yeah. way. It's often used as a shorthand to establish a character as pathetic.
Yeah.
And people take it too far.
Yeah.
So there's a so I actually kind of want to use this to plug Kimetsu no Yaiba just a little bit, because I feel like Zenitsu is the perfect the perfect example of a character who is taken down this path, who doesn't come across like this, and the kind of proof that you can write a pathetic character who does, who kind of is a little bit like, who is a little bit creepy, but like isn't in the, but like immediately is snapped out of it. The lens of the text explicitly views that aspect of him in a negative light. He is forced to grow out of it, and he behaves better once he matures as a person. And I don't see that in Terra's future, which is
What do you think happens to Terra out of curiosity?
He would be the first person to kill.
I think he's either going to get killed or he's going to kill somebody, because he doesn't seem to respect other people or their boundaries. And, I mean, like, I guess it would be like, oh yeah, he's going to kill somebody who's going to, but like the alternative is having to put up with him for the whole game. And I don't think they're going to make us do that.
Something I will say about the way that the game portrays him. I do think that he's supposed to be portrayed as predatory and awful, because the first scene that you have with him is more or less him trying to convince Sonia to have oral sex with him through false pretenses. Nagito sees that and immediately goes, hey, if I see you trying that again, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, in any case, please don't put this kind of character in.
Yeah, it's less, it feels less like that and more like a slap on the wrist, like, oh, you know, let's not do this. Like, it's not very, again, like, the game doesn't seem to take a strong stance against its own characters. But regardless, that's neither here nor there. Terra is just unfucking bearable. I hope we get rid of him ASAP. I really do.
Terra is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he kind of sucks the air out of the room in every scene he's in.
Yeah, and, last but not least, we have Mikan Sumiki from Mikan Sumiki, the ultimate nurse. She's kind of portrayed in a very sad, apologetic way, where she's constantly reading into the ways others perceive her and is immediately wants to apologize in case she got on their nerves. She's voiced by in Japanese. Al Kayano, who plays Ishtola in Final Fantasy XIV, Rin Toyama in New Game, Shiro in No Game, No Life, and in English, she's played by Stephanie Shea, who plays Kirie in Devil May Cry, Eureka in Eureka 7, and Hinata Hyuga in Naruto.
Were you about to say Naruto?
Yes, I was. I guess I can take some lashes for that.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You're gonna.
Yeah, the opposite end of a spectrum of pathetic characters, we have Mikan Sumiki, and Mikan is great.
Yeah, Mikan fucking rules. I posted that I would swear fealty to her, and that does hold. She's extremely moe.
Yeah, she's a big crybaby, and I love her.
Yeah, she sucks ass and it rules.
Yeah, she like when you initially talk to her, it's something along the lines of she says, like, oh, I prepared 5,000 conversation pieces and none of them worked.
I feel like she replies with like a very milquetoast joke to like one of your tweets, and then like if you don't like it, she locks her account and cries about it for like 24 hours.
Also, there's like a pretty great joke with Komaeda where Mikan starts crying and Komaeda scolds you for bullying her. and this happens twice in the same conversation.
Yeah. It's one of those things where immediately they think that it's their fault somehow, because she takes any sort of reaction that doesn't seem effusively positive and kind of destroys herself in a fit of self-loathing and
I feel like she's gonna kill somebody.
Yeah.
I get a couple murder vibes from characters, and like the big murder vibes I get are from like, okay, like Pekoyama, obviously she's going to kill somebody. She didn't bring that sword. She didn't bring the sword to crank off with. Like I 100% think that like Hiyoko's going to kill somebody. Terra is probably either going to kill somebody or somebody's going to get fed up with him and punt him into the sea. And Mikan I think is going to like kill somebody, but like she's going to feel really bad about it. And she's going to immediately confess. You're going to have to deal with the, do we kill Mikan or do we just like kind of let it slide? Because she's so nice to us.
Who do you think is going to get murdered in this game, out of curiosity?
Me. I'm just going to go down the list of characters I like that are going to die. Peko's going to die. Fuyuhiko, I think I kind of like his look. He's definitely going to die. Akane, definitely going to die. Sonya, definitely going to die. Gundam, definitely going to die. Chiaki, not this time around, but maybe. Ibuki, definitely going to die. Nekomaru, definitely going to die. Kazuichi, definitely going to die. Hiyoko, definitely going to... Actually, you know what? She's going to get executed. She's going to kill somebody and then get executed. Terutaro, he'll live for fucking ever. Mikan, oh, she's dead. She's voiced by Ai Kayano, who was, if I recall correctly, isn't Ai Kayano the voice of... God, I forget her fucking name, but I know that she says Des a lot in Symphogear. Oh my god.
Miku?
No. Wait, absolutely not.
Atsune Miku?
Yeah, she voiced... No, yeah, she's voiced
yeah,
by
she's
Atsune
like...
Miku.
She
was Kirika in Symphogear. She's also Yashtola Final Fantasy. Kayano Ai, she also does... I think we went over like Rin Toyama in New Game, Shiro in yes. Your Life, etc., etc. But yeah, no, she's voiced by a bunch of characters I like. Oh, she's definitely gonna fucking beef it.
Yeah, I hate to know that.
Like all of these like, characters,
I know deep down in my heart that she's probably gonna die.
Yeah, but it sounds like y'all pretty much like most of the cast that we have here.
Yeah, it's a pretty good cast this time around. Honestly, I think this cast is overall a lot better and more interesting than the previous games.
Yeah, as someone who's played all three of the main games and the side game, I definitely think that this is the strongest cast out of all of them, and I'm excited to see your reactions as things develop.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said before, like these are all very magnetic personalities. You definitely get the sense of like in the first game, it took a while for the characters to kind of grow on me. Like I didn't immediately like a lot of the cast of Danganronpa 1, but I remember when I first started playing Danganronpa 2, I was like, oh, I am immediately endeared to pretty much every character here. Like I am very fascinated to see where it goes with the story.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing more.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to having my heart ripped out of my fucking chest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That'll happen too. I'm sure.
Like, I fucking guarantee like any character that I like is like Pekoyama's definitely like I am entirely down for like honorable swordsman type characters. Who are kind of a jerk. Like, she's definitely going to have, like, a huge moment of pathos, and then it's going to be like, oh, haha, you know, fuck you, and then she's going to get killed.
Honestly, I feel like Peko might last till the end, because do you really want to try killing the sword master?
No, that's what I think. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I feel like she's going to get killed in a way that's, like, no matter how powerful she is, she can't do how, like, so, like, maybe somebody's going to, like, poison her or something, and she'll die from that, or it's gonna be, like, you know, just something that where it's just, like, alas, like, you could fight off, you know, you could fight off an army, but you can't prevent fate or some shit. Or she does like some big dramatic thing that's gonna get her killed, and it's gonna crank out the tears for me or some shit. I don't know. I feel like we're setting up for some big drama. I'm kind of excited. I'm interested. Got my attention.
Yeah. That's great.
This game kind of immediately has my attention in a way that I'm not sure Danganronpa 1 did after finishing the prologue.
Yeah, Danganronpa 1's prologue was just like, well, here is everybody in this weird underground-like facility, and here comes Monokuma, and then that's about it.
Yeah.
Whereas here...
Honestly, I think the part where Monokuma shows up was, like, that actual scene was maybe my least favorite part of this chapter, just because, like, a lot of these character introductions are so good.
Yeah, it kind of relies on the fact that you've played the previous game and kind of know who Monokuma is already.
Yeah, like, Monokuma showing up felt, I don't know, kind of tiresome, I guess.
Yeah, I get, like, you know what? I wasn't expecting Monokuma to show up. I was expecting, like, the Usami to be, like, this game's Monokuma, which I actually would have liked a little bit more. Like, I'm kind of tired of Monokuma's personality. I would very much like Usami, whose, like, whole deal would be, you know, pretending to be terrified by what's going on, but, like, secretly, like, much more convincingly, you know, secretly being the mastermind. I thought that would be more interesting. But yeah, I guess Monokuma is our mascot for life.
Yeah, like
his turn to play on the Xbox.
Yeah, I guess it's part of his character, but he just kind of starts out grating in this one.
I will say that I really like the the interactions between Monokuma and Monami are going to be interesting because. Yeah. You know, we have not seen the last of Monami. That's pretty clear. Like, you don't get introduced in the title sequence, which, briefly, I want to talk about the two title sequences that this prologue has, which is really funny. Like, it first starts off with, like, Dangan Island panic on the heart-throbbing school trip, and it's this really twee, effuse, like, lighthearted thing, and then we get the real Danganronpa opening a little later.
Yeah, which has like the traditional theme. I'm not sure what the name of that song is, but it's one that was used pretty extensively in the first game.
I think it's just the title track. I think it's just called Danganronpa.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It. The way that they differentiate this song through the various games is adding in exclamation points to the end of the name.
But yeah, I am excited to get back into Danganronpa 2 because Danganronpa 2 is a fucking excellent game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
In more than a few ways, this might be my favorite game ever made, and I feel like I feel like y'all might not feel as strongly as I do about that, but it's still very, very good.
I really love this game, so I don't know if it would be... It's kind of hard to compete with the, like, your favorite game, but it's, like, it's a really, really good one.
Totally.
All right. Any other thoughts before we go to the closing?
Well, there's a pretty great exchange in during the part where I think Usami is telling people that you can't get out of the island until you collect all the hope fragments or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Akane says, why don't we just swim home? And Makan says, there's no way we could swim that far. And Nikumaru butts in and just screams, show some spirit.
It's like, not. He's basically saying, not with that attitude.
Yeah, in this economy?
Yeah, the scary thing about Nakamaru is he could probably motivate someone into thinking they could actually make a swim like that, and then they would die halfway through the Atlantic.
I don't know. He seems pretty convincing.
Yeah, let's follow this guy. I trust him.
Like, even though I can't tell if that's like a towel or toilet paper hanging off the back of his coat, he's still good.
Oh, that is something else we should mention about Nakamaru. He likes taking shits a whole lot.
Yeah, that's like...
Excuse me, no. Well, that's the episode. Thanks, everybody. I am actually announcing my retirement.
Yeah.
Ultimate spare reprise.
Me too.
He likes doing what?
If that's his fun character trait, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, you said this was your what? You said this was your favorite game, and it's fucking got a guy who's old.
It's not this whole thing, it's just a thing he likes to do.
I hate this.
That's his hobby?
You know Jed. What? I hate this. I actually
Jed, we'll get
we are off to the worst possible start.
Yeah.
I am so...
Yeah,
we are exclusively done with the prologue. I'm already done with this game.
Yeah, like Jennifer, you just provided us all with the motive required to murder you.
Well, anyway,
you said Nakamaru was the shit guy, and for that you have to die.
Okay, now I really hope Nakamaru dies. I really don't want to have to put up for more than one chapter.
It's better than you think.
Who killed the shit guy? I don't give a fuck.
Who gives a shit?
I don't know, but it's real gross.
I'm gonna go into a corner out of embarrassment. Died I've been Jennifer lives. Uncle, the ultimate podcaster.
I've been Kyrie.
Yeah, ultimate and something.
I've been Kyrie, the ultimate host.
I'm a nose.
I'm done with this whole fucking thing. That's what I am. Goodbye, everybody.
Class dismissed.
Class fucking dismissed.
Slam the door on your way out.
I already did.
Ha 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 ha!